Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would, you can just turn with me at one verse to read, Romans 3, and you heard this pretty recently, Romans 3, verse 31. Romans 3 and verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. I want to look at this a little bit more. I did a message on 2 Corinthians 3, which is when Walter preached this message, and it was a good message. And it just stuck in my mind. I couldn't get it out of my mind. So I wanted to go over this some more. When we read this verse, there are some things here that in my mind I want to define or to look at a little further. First of all, looking at the question, it says, do we? So this is talking about something we do or in this case don't do. Then we have make void. That is to abolish or to do away with. And that's the law it's talking about here. Then it says through faith. That is faith, the gift of God to his people in the measure he's pleased to give it. And then we establish. That is the law. So I want to go through, do we make void the law? And through faith, we establish the law. I know this question is answered right here in this verse. And this is number one, do we make void the law? The answer is, no, we don't. But we know the law has been voided, right? This verse is absolutely true. But we also know, because we're told in Scripture, that there is one who did void the law. 2 Corinthians 3:7 says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. That word there for was to be done away, it's the same word in our text today. Made void. It's used two more times in 2 Corinthians 3 as well. And it's clear that Jesus Christ voided the Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ, by faith, did everything he came to this earth to do. Jesus Christ abolished the law. That is exactly what it says there in 2 Corinthians 3. Him being the very righteousness of God without the law, Walker. What are we told then about this glory that excelleth that's in 2 Corinthians 3, which has voided the Ten Commandments? Well, first of all, there will be come a time when his Spirit will come upon us, giving us that heart which will then turn to the Lord. What does it say, 2 Corinthians 3:17? Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have liberty in Christ Jesus. I know there are some who might think that when you say things like I'm saying, that you hate God's law. This is not about hating God's law. We are told in the Scripture to use the law lawfully. How do we do that? We tell the truth about what it does. It shuts our mouth and it kills us. That's all it can do because it is weak through the flesh. But we have this Spirit that comes to us, and when it does, we are then turned to the Lord. Walter said this in his message last week, and I've said it several times in some of my messages. But what is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. God gives us by His Spirit, and this is He gives us in the new man, His Spirit, which has all these fruits, of which there is no law against them. What are we told in Scripture? What avails for us? And this word avail in Galatians 5:6 means ability. What gives us the ability to believe God, to receive the love of the truth from God? Galatians 5:6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." This faith of Christ being energized by love, all coming from the grace of God to those who are His people, they fulfill the law in this way. This is how they have the ability to fulfill the law. This is how they are not voiding the law. It is through the fruit of the Spirit which enables them to do this. Romans 13:10 we read, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." We know faith points to Christ because it is He who authored it, and it is He who perfected it. So let's look further at through faith we establish the law. Number two. It says in our text that through faith we establish the law. How do we do that? Are we keeping the commandments of God as our way of life? No. Jesus Christ, who is our life, who is the righteousness of God without the law, did keep the law every jot and tittle. He not only did this, but He also paid for His people's sin. That is sin against His holy law. He was absolutely holy and perfect in everything He did. But He was also made a curse and sin for me. This He did by faith. That faith that He authored and perfected. This is the very faith that God by His Spirit bestows on us by His grace. That is basically what it says in Romans 3. Romans 3 verses 21 and 22 we read, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Even the law and the prophets give witness to this. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and this faith is unto all and up on all them that believe, for there is no difference.
Amen.
We are told in Scripture that the law was weak through the flesh, but Jesus Christ came down born of a virgin, born under the law. We are told that the law was weak through the flesh, but not His flesh. He absolutely kept the law. By faith, we believe in God, and the record He gave of His Son do establish that law, because faith is energized by love, and love is the fulfillment of the law. We believe God and His righteousness, which gives life. The law cannot and does not give life. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." This law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, this law of faith, is the law that goeth forth from Zion. It goes forth from what Jesus Christ has done. This law is not from Mount Sinai. That law killeth. This law, the Ten Commandments, is not of faith, but of works. It's not of believing, but of doing.
Yeah.
It is okay to believe God.
Yeah.
He will guide us into all truth by His Spirit.
Right.
If we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
What am I trying to get at here by saying these things? What God requires, He gives. We are told that we must believe on Jesus Christ or we will die in our sins. We believe by faith. That is by the faith of Jesus Christ, which is given us by God, by the Holy Spirit. He also gives us this faith in word through the gospel. His Spirit attending that word of faith. We then have the ability. In other words, this is what avails for us, is the faith given by God. Not only that, but it is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We are told by God to hear His Son. His Son is the more excellent glory.
Yes.
He is that glory that excelleth. That the law is glorious, but Jesus Christ is more glorious. We do this by faith, which is His gift, and this faith also being energized by love. Jesus Christ saved us by His death on the cross and then raising to life with us in Him. Then once He gives us this faith and sending us His gospel, we then believe Him. Does God then direct us by His Holy Spirit to look to the law as our way of life? When the law cannot give life, does God then direct us to look at His law for how we are to live? If we look to the law, and I mean the Ten Commandments, as our way of life, we are not looking at Christ, who is our life. We cannot serve two masters. What does Galatians 3:12 read? And let's turn to that. I don't remember what it said. Let's just turn to that. Galatians 3:12. If I can find it. Galatians 3:12. Galatians 3:12 says, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." It tells us about the law. But then we read in Romans 1:17, "The just shall live by faith." This is not saying how they get life, but it is talking about their way of life.
Right, yes.
What do we read in Scripture in Hebrews 9:28? "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." We are to look to Him by faith, not to the law. The law can do nothing but kill us, and it cannot give us life. These are not my words. They are the words of God written down by His prophets and apostles, being inspired of God. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You will not find in Scripture where we are told to look to the Ten Commandments as our way of life. It's just not there. There's no life in them. That which God gives to His people, His Spirit, which has fruit, there is no law against those gifts, those fruit. So there is no reason to look to the law. We are to look to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, who was beloved of the Father, and it is He who the Father wants us to hear. The righteousness that is not of the law, that glory that excelleth. What does it tell us about Abraham in Galatians 3:6? "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." It's not of the law. The law is of works. Faith is not of works. Romans 4:5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." This righteousness is the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of the law. The law cannot give righteousness. Galatians 3:21 tells us that. I know not too long ago when I preached that message on 2 Corinthians 3, I said I would take the accusation on, and that is the accusation of being an antinomian.
Right.
I want to modify that statement up somewhat. When it comes to the Ten Commandments, I am antinomian,
right?
Because I am dead to the law. I am freed from that law.
Yes.
Jesus Christ has abolished that law.
Amen.
I am married to Christ. Christ who is the righteousness of God without the law.
Yes.
So why would I say that I'm under that law to keep it as my way of life?
Exactly.
But my way of life is faith. That is faith given by God, which faith looks to Jesus Christ, who is the source and object of that faith. The law of faith is what I'm talking about. And this law I am under by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:27-28, we read, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So how is it that we establish the law through faith? We believe Jesus Christ has met the demands of the law in my stead.
Yes, sir.
And I want to be clear here. Jesus Christ certainly kept the law.
Yeah.
Now, this next statement that I'm going to tell you, I don't have a thus saith the Lord, so it is my opinion. But I do not believe Jesus Christ kept the law for me.
Yeah.
I believe Jesus Christ kept the law because he always was well-pleasing to the Father. He worshiped the Father, as Walker said last week. I believe because who Christ is, he could do nothing else but keep the law of God.
Amen.
It is who he is. The demand on my behalf that my Lord met was this: the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Right, yeah.
I have certainly sinned against God and his holy, just, and good law, the Ten Commandments. So I deserve death. This Jesus Christ did for his people, taking that which they deserved on and in himself. In Ezekiel, we'll read that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's where you can read that. We also know from Scripture that sin is the transgression of the law. So if I have sinned, and there is no doubt that I have, then I have transgressed the law of God. I could not do anything else, as the law is weak through the flesh. 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. If the law be a killing letter and the law of death, then it cannot be a fountain of life. What is it that the child of God seeks for? Righteousness. Not just any righteousness, but that righteousness which is of God. That righteousness which is not of the law. Where do we find this? The law will not bring righteousness. Galatians 3:21 says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. The law does not make us what we are, and it does not fix what we are.
Right.
It only shows us what we are.
Right. Exactly.
There is none that can show any text in God's Word that teaches us that the law, the Ten Commandments, is our way of life once we believe Jesus Christ.
Right.
The law cannot give life. So how can it be our way of life? All the law does is kill. If God's Word told us that the law gives life, or in some way is our walk of life, then I would preach that. But God's Word nowhere teaches it or says it. Paula has this book by William Huntington, and I want to quote something from him. I have a couple of things. I've changed the words a little bit just for reading's sake, but from William Huntington, quote, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Teaching that believers are to look to the law as their way of life is turning people from grace to works. From liberty of the spirit to the bondage of the law. The true light and the old veil. Death and life can never stand together. One must give way. Grace shall reign. And Moses must be subject. End quote. We know from Scripture that that which is not of faith is sin. We also know that sin is the transgression of the law. We just read it. So does faith look to the Ten Commandments? No. Faith looks to Jesus Christ, just as Walter said. He is both the object of faith, that is what faith looks to, and he is also the source of it. He is where it comes from. And I have another quote by William Huntington. The law is holy, just, and good because it defends a holy, just, and good God. It will certainly cut off and destroy forever every adversary that is found under it. But though the law is holy, yet it sanctified none.
Right.
It is just, but it justifies none.
Right.
It is good, but it imparts no goodness
right.
to men.
Amen.
God is our justifier and sanctifier, and Christ is our righteousness and sanctification. God's goodness to us comes by grace, severity by the law. End quote. Scripture confirms this to us. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, we do not hate God's law. We do not look to break God's law. We are, in fact, not looking at God's law at all if we are believers, and this by grace. We have no sufficiency of ourselves. It is all of Him. All that we must have, He supplies. But we are married to Jesus Christ, Romans 7:4. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to Him," that is Jesus Christ, "who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." I am married to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to commit adultery with that which He has done away with.
Right.
How do I honor God's law? Well, fulfilling the law, I think, is a pretty good indication of us doing that, right? We fulfill the law by faith. That is, we believe Jesus Christ, and in so doing, by His grace and by His grace alone, we then fulfill the law, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. It is He, Jesus Christ, that was come to be lifted up. John 3:14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." As Joe said in his TV message this morning, if you watched that, this is talking about that time when there were all these fiery serpents who were biting people. They were dying because of it. They were told that all those who were bitten by what? What is the picture given us in that passage? Those who are bitten by the law of God, knowing they will surely die, what are they told to do? Look to the brass serpent. We know this brass serpent is a picture of Christ because we are told so right here in John 3:15. For what reason or what is the result to looking to Jesus Christ? John 3:15. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Look to Him because He is our only salvation. He is our only way of life. We do and will fulfill the law through faith. Faith given us by Him who authored it and perfected it. This faith causes us to continually look to Him who is our righteousness without the law. This faith is counted for righteousness. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God gives us everything we need. Everything He gives is perfect. That new man, the faith with which that new man believes, all gifts from God are perfect. The law of faith, that is the law which we are under, it is okay to believe God. We work to rest. And I will close with this, if you'll turn with me to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verses 10 and 11. "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall under the same example of unbelief." And I'll say one more time, it is okay to believe God.
Yeah.
Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us to be here today and hear words of your Son, dear Lord. All power is yours. We have none. Apply these words to our heart by your Spirit, Lord. Only you can. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand.